heard a preacher tell one lady, she said she worked in the nursery. He said, I work in the nursery too. She said, you do? He said, yeah, you work in the little nursery. I work in the big nursery. If you would turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 38, there's a thought I want to run to today and deal with. I've been interested in the life of Jeremiah, and there's a lot of things about Jeremiah. One of the things we know about Jeremiah is the fact that he is called the weeping prophet. If you go through and read the book of Lamentations, there's a reason it's called Lamentations, because he's crying through the book. He weeps so much because he sees the people turning their back on God and running the wrong way. And it's amazing that God had given him the message that he gave him in Jeremiah chapter, well, let's hold your place in chapter 38 and go to verse chapter 7 right quick. I want to look at a couple of things here. Just point out a little bit about the earlier verses. In verse 27, chapter 7, verse 27 of Jeremiah, and it says, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt call unto them, but they will not answer thee. And let's go to chapter 20. And let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word, because I'm going to bring out this and then we'll go to verse 38 or chapter 38. And look at what it says in verse chapter 20, verse 9. And it says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He's saying, I decided I'm not going to preach, I'm not going to give the message, but he couldn't hold back. Let's start with verse 1 in chapter 38. And it says, then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in the city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you for this prophet, Jeremiah, who throughout his ministry had a broken heart. And Lord, I just pray that you'll break our hearts for certain things that we see going on in our country and in the lives of those around us. And Lord, I pray for you to do something special this morning. Lord, there's nothing special about this preacher. And Lord, there's nothing special about this congregation except the fact that you love us. But Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to be that special preacher today to share your message. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the hardest things that I see in in the world today is the fact that the message of God is, even though many are giving it out, they're not, nobody's listening. So many are not listening. And the hard part of being a Christian is the fact that you watch people moving into a self-destruct mode. They're going in the wrong direction. They're running as far as they can away from sanity and from God. And by the way, those two go together. And they're running the wrong way, making... It amazes me that it seems like every decision that they make, they try to make it to be more ridiculous than the one before. And I didn't think it was possible that they could get more stupid than what they made the last decision, but boy, they top it each time. And Jeremiah is here, he's in the city. God had given him the message that they were going to be taken over by Babylon. Now, why would God do that? Why would God allow that to take place? Okay, I'll give you the background. For instance, for 490 years, they failed to let the land rest. They were supposed to plow and harvest the land for 6 years, and then God was going to give them enough on the sixth year that they weren't going to have to harvest and work the next year. But they got kind of greedy, and they decided they were going to plant that seventh year too. And they did it the first time. They did it the second time. And hey, God didn't judge them. God didn't punish them. No, he didn't. But it's coming. And I got news for you. Sometimes you and I do something wrong and we think we got away with it. You didn't get away with it. God's always going to get his due. Okay? It's going to come back. But what we see here is the fact that for 490 years, they decided they weren't going to let the land rest. So God decided he was going to get it all back at one time. 70 years, that's why the children of Israel were in captivity for 70 years, because the fact that they had not allowed the land to rest each seventh year. And if you divide 7 into 490, you get 70 years. And so that's why God was getting, he was going to take the people out of the land, let the land rest for 70 years. And the message was not popular. I mean, guess what? Who would want to know that God was sending someone to take over our country and move us into captivity? By the way, I'm not saying that won't happen to us. I hope it doesn't. But we've got an awful lot of people coming in our country that we don't know who they are. And I guarantee you there's a bunch of them that are just as wicked and sinister as they can be. Otherwise, the people that are in control wouldn't allow them to come in. I'm going to go ahead and run this. Isn't it interesting that they've got a vaccine mandate for people that are American citizens, but not for the illegals? They're letting them come in without a vaccine. There's a reason behind that. By the way, they're talking about giving them $450,000 for those that came into our country illegally. I got news for you. Give it to them out of Biden's money that he's being paid by China. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into our message. But the truth is, we see that these people, and I'm going to go ahead and call point number one, they're fiends. The word fiend is like friend, only without the R, okay? A fiend is an evil person. It's a cruel person. It's a mean person. And a fiend is F-I-E-N-D. And that's what these people are that wanted. They're upset with Jeremiah because he's telling the people the opposite of what they want to be told. You ever notice that when somebody, you're talking to somebody about who's going to get to go to heaven, and they believe, oh, God will never send anybody to hell. And turns out that you say, no, only those that get saved. All of a sudden, you're a mean person. Why? Because you're telling them the truth? No, because you're telling them a message that they don't believe or don't want to hear. Even though it might be the truth, there are a lot of people in our world that don't want to hear the truth. It's amazing how in Isaiah it talks about that truth has fallen in the street. Not only has it been fallen in our streets, but it's been buried in our streets. It's been buried in our country. Jeremiah here is telling the truth to these people. He's given the message that God wanted them to get. But remember what we read a while ago in chapter 7? God says, I'm giving you a message, but they're not going to listen to it. What's the purpose of having a message and giving it to the people if they're not going to listen? Because they needed God's warning anyway. God won't punish you. He won't punish me for things that we did not know. There is, if you know that it's wrong to steal and you steal, guess what? You're going to be punished more severe than if you didn't know. These people, God, and it's just like, what if God had not told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the fruit, the fruit of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge, good and evil? A lot of people call it apple tree. I eat apples. No, it's not apple tree. I don't feel any different when I eat apple tree, okay, or apple. Okay, but the truth is, what we see here is the fact that Jeremiah is telling them the truth and they don't want to hear it. Jeremiah is one of my favorite prophets in the fact that he had a tough message, but God warned him ahead of time that they're not going to listen to you. You and I have a tendency sometimes to say, well, I want to go knock doors. And when I go knock doors, there's always the possibility of somebody getting saved. But what if I go knock doors, Brother Andy, and turn around and God says, they're not going to listen to you anyway. They need the warning. But it'd be hard to motivate yourself to give the message. But Jeremiah was faithful. And these people, I'm going to call them the fiends. Now there's a fickle person in the lesson here. And look at what it says in verse number 4. And it says, therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. He's got a message. It was given to him by God. Look at what verse 5 says. It says, then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. What? What kind of king is that? He's a king, but he can't do anything to his subjects? That's not much of a king. And you say, well, why would he say such a thing? Because he wants to be popular. And the message that Jeremiah was preaching was not popular. I got news for you. When you go soul winning, when you pass out tracts, when we stand and preach the word of God and stand for Jesus, it's not popular in the world we live in today. But it's definitely still the message God wants us to broadcast. And this king, he says, oh, you can do whatever you want with him. I can't do anything to help you. Hey, he's flip-flopping. He's like a spineless jellyfish. Getting him to make a decision is like nailing jello to the wall. It's not going to happen. And what we see here is the fact that he's not helping the cause of God at all. We see that kind of leadership in our country today. Somebody that's got their own agenda, they're not going to help God's people at all. And Jeremiah, what happens to Jeremiah? Well, let's look on. Look at verse 6. And it says, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the prison of Melchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. They let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Mire is just a word we use for mud or muck. Okay? And I want you to think about this. What they've done is they put Jeremiah in a dungeon that's full of muck. And he sinks down in the muck and the mire in the dungeon. And probably can't even get out. Can't hardly move. He sinks down so far. Now, why is he there? And I've entitled the message, Stuck in the Mud. And I want you to understand, why is Jeremiah there? He's there because he's faithful, not fickle. He's there because God gave him a message and he wasn't willing to change the message. You and I, we don't have a right to change the message. The message belongs to God. The message is his. I tell people sometimes, God gives me a pizza. I don't have a right to take the anchovies off and put the pepperonis on. I'm just the delivery boy. Okay? That's not my job. My job is to deliver it the way he gives it to me. And that's the way we need to be. We do not. It's hard sometimes when somebody asks you a question and they come right out and say, well, one of the boys in the jail said, my grandma is my angel. And I'm sitting there thinking, now do I really bust his bubble and tell him the truth or just let him think a lie? And I bust his bubble. I told him his grandma's not an angel. People don't become angels, okay? I don't know what you're told or what people think or whatever. And by the way, the Mormons believe that we can become gods, okay? Now, I'm not going to go there, but that's what they teach. You be real good, a real good Mormon, you can be your own god in your own planet one day. Guess what? That's crazy. That, by the way, that concept proves that Satan's the founder of that religion, because that's always been Satan's plan, was to become God anyway. But anyway, Jeremiah was faithful with the message. And I want you to kind of look at this a little bit in the fact that you and I kind of stuck in the mud too, aren't we? The mud being this planet. The mud being down here below. This is kind of like a dungeon, isn't it? Being in this world, being stuck in the muck and the mire of this nasty planet. But there's somebody that God's sending to Jeremiah. Point number one was the fiends. Point number two is the fickle. And point number three is the friend. Let's look at what it says. Verses 7 through 9. And it says, now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no bread, no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. And Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so, and they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. There's a gorgeous picture in this passage that I see in the fact that you and I, being stuck in the mire and stuck in the mud here in this world, Jeremiah had a friend. And this friend, Ebed-Melech, is nothing but a type of the Lord Jesus. Where's Jeremiah? He's down below, stuck in the mud, stuck in the filth, stuck in the grime and the grubby things of this world. But he's got a friend. Where's his friend? Up above. His friends above. And I got news for you. Jeremiah had no power to get himself out of the mess that he was in. The power was above him. And you and I need to realize that there is a God above us. We have the Lord Jesus to call on, and he has the power to get us out of the muck and the mire of this nasty, filthy world. And he will one day. Jeremiah probably wondered why he had to be down there as long as he did. I'd like to know that myself. I don't necessarily like what's going on in our world today, but I got news for you. I know I've got a friend. Amen. And my friend has the power to get me out of this stinking mess. And he will one day. When the time is right. My friend is going to call me up. My friend, the Lord Jesus, is going to call me out of this muck and mire, this filthy garbage that we're having to put up with. And I want to see a lot of people pulled up out of the muck and the mire of this nasty planet. Because it's not fit to live in. The devil's having his way. But you know what I'm glad of? I'm glad I've got a friend. I'm glad that friend died for me. He died for you. I'm glad that what happened in my life was, it was just a total change when I trusted Jesus. And I'm glad I've got a friend above that's got the power to get me out of the mess, but also he's got the power to help me go through and deal with the mess I'm in right now here on this planet until he gets me out. Why is that? I know he loves me. No doubt he loves me. But don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. I don't think he'll ever be able to satisfactorily answer my question, Lord, why'd you love me? Why'd you die for me? Why am I worth what you went through on Calvary? I don't understand it. I don't know that I'll ever understand it. But I sure am glad it's true. I'm glad it's real. And I'm glad, even though, like Jeremiah, we're stuck in the mud of this world, I'm glad I've got a friend above that'll help me. Why was Jeremiah in the mud? Because he was faithful. He was stuck in the mud, but I got news for you. We need to be stuck in the mud sometimes. We need to stick where we are. When the Lord puts us someplace and says, this is the message I want you to preach. This is the message the world needs to hear. What you need to do is just keep giving the message out. Even when it's not popular. Even when people don't want the message. They need it. And one day, you never know. They'll go through a crisis. They'll go through a struggle. They'll go through a battle. These kids that I talk to at the jail, I preach to at the jail, I tell them, I don't know how many of them are going to turn their life around. I warn them. I tell them that Jesus can help them and that they need to avoid the problems that they've of the past and the things they've done in the past and the people they've been with in the past. But all we can do is give the message. You can't make people accept it. Jeremiah couldn't make people accept it. But I do understand what Jeremiah went through when he said, I've made my mind up. The people had gotten so mad at Jeremiah for the message that he decided he wasn't going to give the message out anymore. And guess what? He was about to explode because God had put the message down inside of him and he had to get it out. I understand that. I understand that. I understand when I see people walking by and I think about where are they going to spend eternity? Has somebody ever told them who Jesus is and how to get saved? Everybody you walk by, everybody you see, everybody, the traffic has gone crazy since we've, in the last, I don't know, this year especially, but I'm sitting there looking at all these cars going by with people in them. Sometimes families in them. Where are they going to spend eternity? They're stuck in the same muck and mire we are, but they might not have a friend above to get them out. Their situation might be worse. If they die without Jesus, it's definitely going to get worse. But I'm glad I'm stuck in the mire, knowing I've got a friend up above. Amen. That's going to help me out one day. And what a day, glorious day, that will be. You see, Jesus, like I said, I don't know why he loves us. But there's not a soul that he didn't die for. A lot of people think, well, God and Jesus died just for certain people. I got news for you. If you think you're special and you're one of those special people and there are other people he didn't die for, you're going to find out one day when those people you didn't witness to, their blood's on your hand. Do you know for sure that your name's in the book? Do you know for sure that Jesus died for you and that you called on him? And if you do, then our responsibility shifts over to we need to tell others. Don't change the message. God didn't let Jeremiah change the message. We don't have the right to change the message. The message is the same message today as it has been for millennials. Millennial thousands of years. God's grace. Jesus was coming. Even the Old Testament saints got saved by faith in the coming Messiah. Just like we get saved by trusting in the Messiah who has come. I'm glad, even though I don't like being stuck in the mud, I'm glad I've got a great God that's going to pull me out of this nasty mess one day. And by the way, won't be any of the mud left on me. when I get out of here, because I'm going to have a new body.
Amen.
I'm going to have a new robe, new clothes. All the old clothes that are spotted with the flesh are going to be left behind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know that you're our great God. And Lord, that even though the mess that this world is in, and it seems to get deeper all the time, seems that we sink farther into the muck and the mire every day. But Lord, I thank you. One of these days, you're going to pull us out. You're going to pull us out of this muck and mire. And Lord, I just thank you for giving us an opportunity to know Jesus, our friend that's above us, with the power to pull us out. Lord, use the invitation and help us to make decisions based on what you want us to do. Lord, if there's one here that needs to be saved, Lord, help them to trust Jesus even now. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.